Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Miller and Condon on a Tuesday. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 on the FM dial. It's Trent Miller. It's Trent Condon and Ken Miller.
Hello there.
Hello. And we are with you for the next couple of hours. We appreciate you spending some of that time here with us on the BMW of Des Moines guest list. Today we are going to speak with the following. The bottom of the hour, Tommy Birch will slide in here from the Des Moines Register. A lot of different places we will go with Tommy. Baseball, name, image, and likeness here in the state of Iowa. The Register, Heinz, PD, and the crew over there, I think, doing a really good job of bringing some clarity as to what we can see in our state, trying to help us understand it a little bit better. So Birchie will be here, and of course he is, what, weeks away now from that plum assignment. I'm assuming he still has it, of heading over to Field of Dreams to watch the White Sox and the Yankees collide on Sunday Night Baseball. So Birchie at 10:30. Vinny Iyer will join us from the Sporting News at 11:05. He covers the NFL and fantasy football during that period of time at the Sporting News as well. So Vinny Iyer at 11:05, and then we'll talk Big 12 with our friend Matt Postens from Heartland College Sports. They do a terrific job over there. If indeed you are a Big 12 fan, I'm assuming you're aware of what they're doing covering the conference. If you're not, you should be. Matt Postens will join us at 11:30 to discuss. So overall, a Monday night when we had certainly a lot of opportunity sports-wise. The Cubs and the Brewers were good through eight. Mm-hmm. Patrick Wisdom's home run, Trent. I mean, that was as mammoth of a shot. And I never did see the how far it traveled. It hit the bar in the upper deck in center field.
I saw 465, I think, was the number.
Felt like he got shortchanged.
I did, too, because I heard on radio on my way back from Waukee last night.
Did you?
And Pat Hughes certainly was selling it.
Oh.
And then I see the graphic up on, I think it was Mark, he had it maybe in the post game, that it was just the fourth longest of the year. No way. After seeing it, there's no way that's only the fourth longest of the year for the Cubs. That seemed...
I would be surprised.
Right. Yeah.
He just smoked it and knew from the instant that it hit his bat that ball was gone and it's not coming back. And it was a big spot for them as they tied it four apiece. But bottom of the eighth inning, here comes the Brew Crew, and it was on. And Ryan Tepera, who had been one of the stories of this bullpen, and I'm not... alarmed at the way he's pitched the last couple of days, although I will point this out, since the sticky has been brought into the game, his numbers seemingly are going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Could be absolutely coincidence. I'm not wearing a tinfoil hat going all conspiracy theorist on you, but if you look to the 21st of June and subsequently after that, his numbers have gone the wrong way, and he's been one of the stories coming out of that bullpen, and there's certainly been a lot of them. We thought, Trent, that this was going to be a big week for the Cubs as to what they're going to do when they approach the trade deadline. Look, it's not a big deal when you get beat by the Dodgers. They're a really good baseball team. They were in this game yesterday against the Brewers for the longest time. Hendricks wasn't great in the baseball game, but you know what? Tonight, it's not going to get any easier because the next couple of nights, the two aces for the Brewers will be on the bump. Brandon Woodruff tonight and Corbin Burns tomorrow afternoon. Cincinnati's playing lights out, and that's where the Cubs go next. So I think we were right to call it a crossroads going into this week, and last night was not the start you wanted.
You know, the environment, the sound, and being in Milwaukee, but you know the amount of Cubs fans that are going
it
to be there.
It was crazy.
And it was... that explosion of sound that happened at that point, it really felt like they were going to get him.
Yeah, I thought so too.
And then to not just lose the game, but to give up a 10 spot.
Yeah.
And they get a couple, and then the Grand Slam.
Uh-huh.
And Hira, we talked about him yesterday a little bit.
Welcome back.
He can be a big difference maker for this Milwaukee team. I still think they're a bat short of competing, well, competing with the Dodgers and mm-hmm. the Padres and now even the Giants. Mm-hmm. They're maybe a bat short of being, I think, at that level. But this team is really talented. We don't know. All of a sudden, Christian Yelich, a lot of times he's elite superstar players, and he's not obviously playing at that level, and he hasn't since the injury.
Right.
But it can click. It can all come together very quickly and be that on July 15th or August 15th or September 15th. If it happens, the Brewers, they can win it all. The Milwaukee Brewers can win the World Series because of what they have 1-2, what they have in the back end of the bullpen, and, of course, what they have, and if they get a former MVP back in Christian Yelich. This team is that good.
Back to what he was.
Right. If he gets back to that level. I believe in this team that much. And you saw it before the year. I wasn't buying it all. But you
I
like
sold
the town.
You, and I think you actually dipped into your account.
I did. Because I was already on the Cardinals, and I was pretty steadfast on that one.
Yeah.
You made a compelling argument, and I jumped aboard, and I completely see it. Now, I don't think anybody saw Woodruff doing what he is.
No.
And Burns mm-hmm. at the level that he has been. This team's really, really good.
I think they are, too.
And because of what we're seeing out west, the Cubs conversation, if this goes poorly here the next 2 days, and they're limping into the All-Star break, you get a couple of weeks after that, and it's the trade deadline, what's a more realistic scenario? They're big buyers or they're sellers?
I think you have to sell, Trent. I really do. Depending on what your plans were going to be going into it, I mean, they had a chance to sign Rizzo. They didn't take him up on that opportunity. Patrick Wisdom is playing a really good third base. He's got a terrific arm. He's good defensively. We know what he does in the batter's box. And I get Chris Bryant. He can play anywhere, and he does. You can put him at third. You can put him at first, and they have. You can put him in left, center, and right, and they have in all three positions. You love the versatility that he brings to the field. He was having an MVP-type season. But has Patrick Wisdom all of a sudden made Chris Bryant expendable? If you are selling, I'm not saying they're the same guy.
I get where you're going.
But it's not like you're plugging in David Bodie at third when you run Chris Bryant out of town, right?
You got a guy that has pedigree.
Yes.
Was a first-round pick, has shown that he can compete at this level. He's not going to replace completely the production of a great Chris Bryant, a healthy Chris Bryant.
Because he can play anywhere, Trent. I mean, he can play five positions. He can't catch, can't pitch, can't play short. He might be able to play second.
He probably could.
Yeah.
But
you don't want him to.
When you're building a team, all right, you have a finite amount, ultimately, of resources. You're going to spend whatever that number turns out to be when you're spending, $225, $250. All right, do we invest $30 million of that a year in Chris Bryant? Mm. Or do we take what we have here? I'm going to guess Patrick Wisdom doesn't have a whole lot of service time at the major league level.
No,
he's going to be arbitration eligible.
He's a rookie.
Right.
He's still a rookie
so
in
you
Major
have
League
him
Baseball's eyes.
For 5 years? And even if he turns into a pumpkin, he's cost you $600,000. You move on. You bring in the next young guy. You go that route. You bring in a veteran. You can do that. I think it makes more sense to invest in the four guys that we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It makes more sense to invest in Javi. Even as frustrating as that guy can be, him, Rizzo, because he's the
best. He had a couple of at-bats yesterday.
Those
Trent,
are my two. I think if I could pick two of four.
Yeah.
Encompassing everything, that's who I choose. Javi Baez and Anthony Rizzo.
I would like to see, I hope you get your wish. Look, I don't want them to tear down the Cubs. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do, they've got some pieces, right? Brian is going to bring some. Craig Kimbrell is going to bring a boatload.
Mm-hmm.
He's under team option, I think, next year. I believe that they could pick up prior to moving him out of town, and I hope they don't. Trent, he is back putting up numbers again. It's just a little below striking out one every two guys he faces. He K's them.
You're exactly right. He has another $16 million due next season.
That's all for him?
$16 million a year.
Yeah.
Club option, $1 million buyout. I don't think the way he's pitching anybody's buying out with that one. He is going to pass, looks like the vesting option for that. So, $16 million for a closer at this level, not breaking the bank in any way. And we've seen the evolution of baseball and how important those bullpen pieces are. And you're able to shift everybody down. If you are a team that needs a little bit of help there, that's a good one. You're going to get a ton. You mentioned Tapera, but there's other guys in that bullpen, too, that are going to fetch something.
I'm with you.
And more than a bag of balls.
Yes.
There's going to be, mm-hmm. out of this bullpen, guys that I'm sure other teams are going to look at and say, yeah, these are the guys that are going to help us.
Chafin has been unbelievable.
Yes, there's
a
great
one. And he's a left-handed pitcher.
Yet he's not a loogie. He's not a left-handed only specialist.
Right.
He can get righties out also.
True. Yeah.
Because those guys, I don't want to say they're a dime a dozen. You like to have them.
Uh-huh.
Also with the change in baseball, where when you come in, it's not just a one-out lefty. It's
true.
The old days of that. Yeah, yep. Kids. That's how baseball used to be.
And got to face a minimum of three or get to the bottom of an inning.
So that, I think, improves the likelihood that you see a guy like that. They still could turn it around. It's still baseball.
I know.
Could have a... They could finish this thing off, win a couple of 2-1 games,
mm-hmm.
and our conversation come Thursday is completely different. That's how quickly it can change, but I think the likelihood is ultimately they are sellers.
I'm with you. I think that they've put themselves in that position. Look, we'll see. They've got two more with the Brewers. Then they go to, they're off Thursday, Cincinnati for three, Phillies for four, before they finish up with the Cardinals going into the All-Star break. We knew the June schedule was daunting, a couple of West Coast trips sprinkled into it. But we also knew that they had a pretty fortuitous May when it came to their schedule.
Yeah.
So the teams, and here's the thing, folks, the teams that are beating them in June are the teams you're going to have to beat in October.
Yes.
Because those teams are going to be the teams that are getting to postseason. And they haven't shown that they could. Now, I get it. They swept the Dodgers in May, right, when the Dodgers were at Wrigley Field. So they shown that they can have some success, but I just don't like the looks of this team right now. Rizzo's back is acting up again. I don't want him to tear it down. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't want... Like, the Cubs are good for us months, selfishly. It's they're the needle mover of Major League Baseball teams. Not by a... Well, maybe it is
significant
margin.
Of all the professional sports, I think the gap between them... And everybody else here in our market.
So you mean the NFL teams?
Yes.
I agree.
We've had this conversation.
Yeah.
The story I always tell, I talked to the sales buyer for professional sports for the football guy at Shields. He said, it's basically a quarter for all the four regional teams.
25% apiece.
Yeah. That's as close as you're going to get. NBA, it really just doesn't matter in
doesn't
this market.
Register. Yeah.
NHL?
No.
The Black? Who would you guess is first? Is it the Wild or the Blackhawks?
I think it's the Wild now.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think it was the Blackhawks by default,
right? Yeah,
because the NHL look. It seemed like you got to the Iowa-Minnesota border,
mm-hmm.
and hockey stopped.
Yeah,
released.
Yeah,
you know,
I grew up on the Iowa-Minnesota border, and guess what? We didn't play hockey.
No.
We're going over to Mason City, watch some Husky games, and that would be the winter appearance of hockey.
Yeah.
In my world, they'd take the tennis courts. And they throw some water on it during the winter months, and like two guys would go out there skating around, and they'd have their own nets that they bring out there and sticks and play one-on-one hockey. That's about it. That was all that we got. You're right on the border there. But probably the Wild, but still.
And you know what? If it is the Wild, hats off to them.
Yes.
Because they have cultivated, and now we know that they're... East Coast, was it ECHL that moved into town? It's the level below the Wild. So it's AA is taking their place. What do they call themselves? The Heartlanders? The Iowa Heartlanders,
yeah.
I think. You know, and it's a very limited number of players that come through there that will ever see an NHL score sheet.
Oh, okay.
You don't... It's tough. It's a big, big leap. It's you can make it to the next level. You can make it to the AHL, to the Minnesota, or to the Iowa Wild. But it just doesn't happen a lot.
But when you talk about, let's try to play with some percentages here. Pure guesswork. You're talking about baseball fans in Central Iowa.
As to how they would,
is it
break? So we start with 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go 40% Cubs.
That's exactly what was in my mind.
I'll go 25.
I think I was going lower. I was going more 15 for the next team. Maybe 20.
I'll go 20 Cardinals.
You think it's Cardinals?
I do, and maybe I'm just getting...
I think you're a little swayed for what you've heard on the radio since you've been here.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. That's just what I was about to say, so you can correct me. Twins, obviously, but are we doing Central Iowa or are we doing State of Iowa?
We're doing Central Iowa.
Okay.
Because it's different in every pocket that you go into also.
So we got to get to 100.
We got to get to 100. 40 Cubs, yeah. And we're just doing the regional teams. Let's leave the Yankees aside and all those others.
Okay, so before we go on, so we put in the White Sox, the Royals,
yep,
the Cardinals and the Cubs, and
the Brewers.
You want to put the Brewers in?
They're bigger than you think. Yeah. This is an argument that we have a lot, too. I think that number, now, ultimately, we were talking about this 100% pie.
Mm-hmm.
It might be 7%, 5%. It might be down there. That's the other thing. Who has more fans in Central Iowa? Brewers or White Sox?
Oh, my.
Because if you listen to this radio station, you think it's
sure.
The White Sox.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the case. From just walking around now for the last almost 15 years here, I feel like I see a lot more Brewers gear than I do White Sox.
Do you? I know Whipper,
mm-hmm.
Chuck Reed.
Yep.
They're White Sox fans.
Sean Roberts.
Well, yeah, I wasn't
Emery
bringing
Songer.
Guys in the building. And that's a good one. So, okay, so 40 Cubs. I'm going to stick with 20 Cardinals.
Okay.
And I would go.
Who's third?
I think the Twins.
And remember, for some of our younger listeners, the Twins were on WHO for a long
yes.
time. During the 60s when they yep. came to Minneapolis, 70s and into the 80s.
Yep.
That's a big portion. I remember we did an event up the dial over at Seven Flags at the event center there. It was the Twins Caravan.
Oh,
just
okay.
being absolutely shocked.
How many people showed up?
Yeah.
And who was the big name that came with them? Who was the big name player?
Bert and Dick were both there
okay.
from the TV broadcast
right.
crew. Dick
but
Bremer
normally
and
they
Bert.
Bring a fourth or fifth outfielder.
Right, and that was, and that's what it was. The big name, though, it wasn't Morneau, because he was originally scheduled, and I remember a couple weeks beforehand his schedule had changed, so
okay.
it wasn't that. But, I mean, it was a name. It was
right.
it was a guy. I can't remember. I'm not a autograph guy, so it wasn't I need to get their autograph or anything like
well,
that.
That's good. With you in radio, that's
yes,
not
yeah.
an autograph guy.
No, that's not a good thing to be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was just surprised by that. So I think you're right. Now, I'm also a Twins fan, and that
right.
probably taints my
so
view.
So 15?
15 and
so
then.
So now we've given out 75%.
So we're down to 12 for the Royals?
I think they're next.
Yeah, I do too.
12 for the Royals, and then you want to go 7-6, White
right.
Sox, Brewers,
yes.
any way you carve
it. I think
it
that's
up.
A pretty. We're pretty close here.
Mm hmm.
If we're wrong, at Miller and Condon on Twitter. Tell us
well,
where
I mean,
we're missing.
And there's nothing you can't go to a book.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you can't find something on Twitter that says, oh, there's you guys are fully, you know what?
Yeah.
Just look at this, read this. And there's nothing been done like that. So I don't know. Probably, I think that we're
so
close.
Back to your original point, Cubs, come on, be mm-hmm. relevant.
Yeah.
We need them.
No, we do.
We need them through the summer months.
We do. And we'll see. I don't want them to sell off everybody, but man, it seems like they might be headed in that direction. Big couple of weeks ahead of us. So the basketball last night,
mm-hmm.
It was one of those games, Trent. I appreciate Phoenix trying to go on a little bit of a run. It was one of those games that the opponent wouldn't allow him to. That they stopped whenever it got kind of Reggie Jackson's three.
Mm-hmm.
How much time's left? 6 minutes, six and a half. I don't recall exactly. It's a 4-point game. He hits a three, and it just felt at that point that any hope. If you were on the Suns, and a lot of people were going to come back and win this basketball game. I thought at that moment, who says dagger? Who's the dagger? I don't know. Whichever.
Is that Bream?
It might be.
Well, he's
but
got the
just,
bang.
It might that might have been at the point in the game. I said, you know what? This isn't Phoenix is going to have to get back on a plane. They're going to have another game coming up.
And a game in L.A. And that's the fun thing about the 2-2-1-1-1 mm-hmm. format, the way that it should be in any seven-game series.
Right.
Yes, it doesn't matter the sport.
Yeah.
This is the way that you put together a seven-game series, because that 3-1 lead, and as it's happening and unfolding, it usually feels very much like it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people said, it's over. And then that game five comes, and you do it on the road, and then you get to go home if you are the visiting team.
Right.
And then the pressure starts to build, and you get to, and if you force a game seven, though you have to do it on the road, the pressure,
oh sure,
it's not on
yes.
you.
Right.
You have momentum. I know analytic people don't believe in momentum. I watch sports for 41 years now. I believe in momentum. Mm-hmm. I know you can't quantify it. I know you can't put it on your stat sheet.
Look what Montreal did to Toronto.
Yes.
The pressure was all on the Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
They had to go back into their building. I know, there was no fans there. But the pressure was on the Leafs.
Yes.
The Habs kicked the you know out of them.
Yes.
And Toronto was a better hockey team. I'm with you. I think it's a perfect example. Phoenix better win in game six. That's how I see it.
I'm right there with you. And then you start bringing up, we've been hearing about Playoff P and ripping on Playoff P.
Well, Playoff P.
He showed up.
Yeah.
He showed up.
He rubbed
in a big
your nose
way.
In it last night. He was terrific.
But it'll come back the other way. It'll be Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. And he has, look at his resume of playoff choke jobs, and it is a long one. Mm-hmm. Now, some of it's been injury based, but not all of it has been. You're going to have that piece of it too. So all these things start to build. And they start to go, and they get to this crescendo. If it gets to a game seven, Tyler, I'm more than likely to be betting the Clippers. If everybody's healthy, taking Kawhi out of the equation.
So that would be a Friday night.
Is that what it'll be?
It would be Friday night.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
If it's going, you know, day on, day off, day on.
Yep. And yes, I'm looking at the schedule right now, and that's what they have it scheduled for.
Okay.
A game seven there. Yeah, I'm in for that one.
I am too. Hockey last night was awful.
I have one note from hockey last night. Got there and just as I was flipping through, catching back up in the evening, I go over to the hockey and I see Stamkos' goal that made it 5-1. Mm-hmm. Just happened to flip on it at the exact right time.
Yeah, I didn't see that goal.
I'm going to guess you didn't. And I thought to myself, man, that guy's been part of my hockey life for a long time. He's been a really good player for a really long player. He's got to be 37, 38 years old.
No, he's not that old.
And then I look it up. He's 31.
Yeah.
It feels like I feel like he played with Mario Lemieux. He's been around for so long.
No.
He was drafted in 2008. He was a first-round draft pick.
He was first overall pick,
yes.
Was he not?
And he's been around basically since then, yet still only 31 years old.
No, I know. Captain of the team. Look, there's just too much firepower. I want this to be a series in the worst way. I think that we're looking at four games. And I've been wrong about this Montreal team. Everybody has, right?
But this is the time.
It just looks as though they finally met their match and run out of gas or whatever you want. They just don't have the guys that can match up with this team. Tampa Bay is battle-tested. They won it in the bubble last year. They've got four incredible lines. Montreal doesn't have a star. This kid Cole Caulfield.
Mm-hmm. Cool story.
Yeah, really cool story. Yeah. In March, he's playing for Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Right. He's the Hobie Baker winner, which is like the Heisman Trophy in college hockey. He leaves school, signs his pro contract. They put him in the AHL. He lights it up in the two or three games at the end of the season that he played there and just has been unbelievable in the playoffs, but they just don't have enough of him. There's just too much firepower. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked at all if once this series leaves Tampa, that the next time that the Lightning get together in Tampa, they're on boats in the harbor on a parade.
Yeah, I gotcha.
It just seems like, man, this is headed for Sweep City. I hope I'm wrong. I love this. I love the Stanley Cup Final. It's been a really good playoff, but it just doesn't seem like it's going to be compelling. I think the numbers are going to show it. I cringe knowing that they're going to come out and that the Montreal, the Canadian market does not factor in the metering of this, and the hockey haters are going to have their heyday, and it drives me nuts when I see the Iditarod killing the hockey. What? I mean, it's just... I'll never understand it. I'll go to my grave. I'll never understand. I shouldn't say that. I get it kind of because you didn't grow up playing it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch it and you love sports, you got everything. You've got speed. You've got brutality.
Yes.
There's just so much that goes into the game of hockey at that level. And for it not to gain a larger audience here, we don't play it. It's not like, you know, the sun goes down and you got your skate and your stick over your shoulder like a hobo. And you're walking to the rink and you're going to skate for, you know, till the street lights come on or what, you know, when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even begin to estimate how many hours of my life and every kid that grows up in Canada, not just me, spent on an outdoor rink.
So
that was life for us.
You grew up in Winnipeg.
Yes.
In the city proper?
Yes.
So was there a pond? I mean,
No, there was a rink on every corner.
So that's what it was. So
yes.
They just...
Everywhere.
They're just ice down, and that's where you go.
Community hockey.
Like, you look at a basketball hoop as you're driving by every park.
Absolutely.
It's like that.
That's what it is. Yeah, and that's what it is. And there's a clubhouse, and there's a canteen, and there's dressing rooms, a couple of sheets of ice, and it's incredibly well run. And the next community is a few blocks over, and they've got their own, and you're playing against them. It's from the time it gets cold in the middle of October and you play until the ice, it starts to melt a little bit, maybe in April, and you're wondering if you can get one more game in.
Yeah.
And you can't go in the corners because it's all puddles and stuff. So you move the nets a little closer to the center of the sheet. That's what it's like. And I mean, that's why it has not gained, in my opinion, the fan base that I believe the game deserves. It's spectacular.
Back to our conversation a little bit ago, though, the Wild, the Iowa Wild, they're trying to build that as best they can.
Yeah, they're doing a good job,
yes.
too.
Getting
those
more,
rinks that they put out all yeah. around the community, I don't know whose idea that was. If it was Fredrickson's, it might have been. But just brilliant.
Those are the things that you need to do. And will there ever turn out to be an NHLer? I know we had one way back in the day. But
Scott Clemenson got there from there. Goalie.
Yeah. Is this something that's going to cultivate that? Maybe not. But if you're just building a little bit, and because you're right. I'm not a huge hockey guy. It's a incredibly fun sport. And if you've never been, even to a Bucks game or a Wild game here locally, but then to ramp that up and go to an NHL game, it is to see those guys, how big they are. That's always my takeaway.
Speed.
Yes. These are 6'4", 220-pound monsters just flying up and down the ice.
If you can make it from Phoenix, and Austin Matthews did, you can make it from Central Iowa.
Yes.
Coming up on 10:30, Tommy Burch will be next as we recap yesterday. Overall, in the... I guess if you're a Clippers fan, if you're a Brewers fan, if you're a Lightning fan, you enjoyed yesterday. But it was just kind of meh. Now, I didn't see any Dodgers Giants late. I saw a couple of innings around 10 o'clock, but I guess it got a little, it was a close game.
It was, 3-2 was the final there. It was, Dodgers jumped on them right away and got to, I can't remember who was on the bump there. Because, same thing, I was flipping around, saw they were doing the live look-ins on MLB Network, so I saw a little bit there on that one. I didn't see anything that you were talking about, though, when I was watching. So.
Yeah, I think I saw that there was on Twitter this morning some play in the ninth inning. Anyway, potentially a bad call. Speaking of bad calls, Angel Hernandez had the plate last night. Good God.
He really
Every 5 days,
you
know he's going to trend on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. Is there ever been somebody in sports, and I'm guessing there probably has, but as inept as he is at what he... And everybody knows it. Everybody knows he's awful at his job. Who would that
be? The Washington Generals.
Okay. Yeah. But they're supposed to lose.
Okay.
Right.
Angel, you're talking about real sports
here? Yeah. Okay. He's a guy that's supposed to be in whatever field of endeavor, sporting endeavor that you're in.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever got to that level but has been so awful at their job?
The Brooklyn Bruiser, I think he was the jobber in the WWF back in the 80s that had to lose every time.
Yeah.
Again, that's a scripted event, though.
Right.
Real
it,
event?
The guy's name in Canada was going to lose the Washington General Wrestler, the very capable Kenny J.
The very capable
Kenny J. All right, timeout. Coming back with Tommy Burch. We'll pick Tommy's brain again. The Register, if you're trying to educate yourself on name, image, and likeness in the state of Iowa, Hines and Petey have been doing a really good job of trying to do just that. Tommy Burch on that, on what he saw this past weekend at Principal Park, is there were three Chicago Cubs, only one of which, in my opinion, will make a difference this year, and that's Nico Horner. So we'll pick his brain on that. And other stuff with Burchy. As we continue here on Miller and Condon, it's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KX and 0106.
Back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. 10:35 on a Tuesday, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 on the FM dial. Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News on the NFL at 11:05. Matt Poston's Heartland College Sports at 11:30 on the Big 12. Right now, our friend Tommy Burch, Des Moines Register, he joins us. Burch, good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Doing fine. Burchie, I read your piece on Coop's cages. I really enjoyed the piece. Look, Eric Cooper, gone way too soon, and such a nice man, right? Just a horrible thing that happened to Coop coming out of surgery and have the blood clot, and it cost him his life. But boy, oh boy, the community has stepped up over at Hoover, where he went to high school. Joe Madden chipped in to the cause, and those batting cages in memory of Eric Cooper with that sign on all of the batting cages is a tribute to a really good guy. Glad you wrote the piece, Birchie. Well done.
Thanks. You know, and I can kind of echo everything you said about Coop. You know, I spent a lot of time around him, and, you know, you get to know a lot of umpires from around here, especially, you know, me. I've written about a lot of the guys from him to Pat Hover to Tim McClellan, but I think one of the last times I saw Coop was he was recovering from, I think, a separate surgery, but he was back in Iowa for a little bit, and, he came to an Iowa Cubs game and sat in the press box with me, and Michael Admire happened to be there for a little bit, too, and just sat there and talked baseball with us for a long time.
Awesome.
And, you know, that's the type of guy Coop was. You know, Coop would talk baseball with anybody, and he loved to tell stories. He loved to talk about the game. And he really enjoyed being around kids, too. You know, that was another one of my interactions with him, was when he visited a middle school in Waukee. And I remember one of the questions a kid asked him to do was, you know, give me your strikeout call. And
nice.
He stood up in front of that room. And he acted like he was, you know, he was in the middle of Yankee Stadium, right behind home plate, ringing up Derek Jeter. So it's a really cool thing, and I think Eric Cooper would really enjoy seeing how those kids at Hoover High School are benefiting from such a great cause in his name.
Absolutely. You know what? It was great that before he passed, he was able to fulfill a dream and get to the World Series, right? The story of how he was told, Joe Torre reaching out to him and his wife, who were in the car at the time, and Coop relaying the story. And you might have written it, Birchie. I'm sure you probably did. You know, just having to pull over because he had a tear in his eye, that he'd been named to one of the umpires in the World Series. He reached the pinnacle before, sadly, he passed.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk to a lot of people in the game, too, and, you know, I'd mentioned the Urbandale native Pat Hover, you know, the big league umpire right now, too. That was something that, you know, Eric was really proud of those accomplishments, you know, the World Series and All-Star Game, you know, behind the plate for, I believe, 3 no-hitters. But he took a lot of pride in helping a lot of those young umpires, especially the Iowa guys like Pat Hover, rise through the big leagues. And I remember one of the first times, you know, I've known Pat Hover for a long time, both of us being local area guys. We'd actually played some high school baseball together in a fall league. And I remember, you know, when Hover actually got to the big leagues and made his debut, I called him up and I said, "Hey, you know, I'd like to do a story." He goes, "Let me call Coop first. You know, I'd love to get some advice on how to handle that." I mean, he was a true mentor to all those young umpires, and not just the Iowa guys as well.
Well, and another great Hoover story that you had, Birchie, over Father's Day weekend, talking about Tyler Brown, the second-year Hoover coach, his son a year ago, born premature. And, Birchie, you do this a lot, but you tugged at the heartstrings on Father's Day weekend, and it was a little misty as I was reading through the article. For people that haven't seen us, fill us in on the Hoover baseball coach and his young son, Brody.
Yeah, so you kind of hit on it there where Brody turned one a couple of days before Father's Day, but it was a really tough first year for Tyler Brown, the Hoover High School baseball coach, and his entire family. You know, last year was his first season as a head baseball coach at the high school level and running the Hoover High School baseball program. And he got one game into the season, and Brody was born prematurely. Mm-hmm. He spent most of the season kind of jumping back and forth between Des Moines and Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, even coached a couple of games by Zoom. And the people in the Hoover community started a GoFundMe page, raised a lot of money to help with the medical bills. And I went out to a Hoover High School game earlier this month and got to meet Brody and Tyler's wife, Hannah. And it was cool to see that, hey, they're going to baseball games now. You know, that first year, Hannah and Brody would watch all the games, but they'd be at the hospital or she'd be at an Airbnb up in Cedar Rapids watching. But, you know, it's one of those things that really puts things into perspective. Everybody is dealing with their own things. But I think when you read about Tyler Brown and his family and everything they've been through, it not only puts things into perspective for people, but I think hopefully inspires people to know that, you know, good days will come even during the toughest of times.
Mm. Tommy Birch is our guest from the Des Moines Register. Birchie, covering the iCubs, give us an idea of how many scouts are in attendance on any particular night. I mean, they used to sit right behind home plate, and they'd have their radar guns, at least a couple of them would. And but I'm leading to, are you seeing more of them as they approach the trade deadline, whether they're there to look at the AAA Cubs or whoever happens to be in the other dugout? Scouts coming to, you know, to Principal Park, as I'm sure they do all across minor league baseball. But do you see more of that as we get closer to the trade deadline?
Yeah, typically in the past, I usually have. You really start to notice that even after the trade deadline comes and goes, and then you have the, you know, the waiver trade deadline where you can still make trades, but guys have to clear waivers and stuff like that. There are definitely a lot of eyes on the AAA level even past them, because I think they know, like, okay, if we want to get this guy, there's still a decent chance he might clear through waivers. But this year, just in general, I would say the attendance of scouts at minor league baseball games, at least in Des Moines, just hasn't been at the same number that I've seen it before. And I don't know what the reason is kind of for that. You know, my guess would be is you look across baseball, one of the areas that a lot of teams are slashing in is their scouting department. You know, there's such a high emphasis on sabermetrics and following the numbers and watching the video just in your office. I mean, you look at the Chicago Cubs, and they still have people that come down to Principal Park. Matt Dorey, their farm director this year, Jaron Masson, who was their farm director in the past, make it down to Principal Park, I would say, maybe, you know, once a month. But it was kind of well known throughout the inner circles that you probably weren't going to see a guy like Theo Epstein or Jed Hoyer in Des Moines, because in Theo Epstein's box at Wrigley Field, he would have television pretty much just piping in all those minor league games throughout the system to him. So I think that's kind of become the trend too, knowing that, hey, you don't have to send scouts to all of these areas. And two, that's just been an area that's been cut down too. But also probably the other factor is the fact that you have now had the Major League Baseball draft pushed back to July. I think a lot of departments right now are really focusing in on, you know, the finishing touches of the draft and who they're scouting and who they're keeping close tabs on right now.
Well, one of the guys are keeping close tabs on is Brody Brecht. It's fun getting out there, and all of a sudden you see somebody with a gun sitting to another guy with a radar gun, and they're sitting there scouting him. What's the latest on Brody Brecht? I've heard some numbers thrown out. He loves football. I think that goes without saying. He wants to be an Iowa Hawkeye. He wants a chance to run out in Kinnick Stadium. If somebody takes him and drafts him, they're going to have to pay pretty significantly, it feels. That's what I'm hearing. How about you on Brody Brecht?
Yeah, some of the scouts I've talked to have said, look, it's going to cost first or second round money to sign Brody Brecht, and that's going to be a pretty expensive haul for a guy that, you know, does have a tremendous amount of talent. But, you know, I've heard you talk about, Trent, where everybody that has seen Brody Brecht that knows him real well has said, look, you know, to get him to where they would want him to be in terms of a development factor, there's going to be some work that needs to be done. It's not like Brody Brecht is a guy that you draft now and in 2 years is in the big league. You know, it's going to take a little bit of time, even though he's thrown, you know, mid to high 90s. The projections is if you clean up the mechanics, get him in a weight room where he's really focused on baseball, he's a guy that's touching 100, maybe 101 and possibly 102. But I think a lot of teams are really scared off by that idea that, hey, his dream, you know, when I was talking to Brody Breck the other month or earlier this month, you know, his dream, like you said, is to run out of Kinnick Stadium. His dream is not to play Major League Baseball.
That's
I think
crazy.
The reason why playing Major League Baseball is at least on his radar is the idea that there is some major money that's kind of being dangled in front of him. But you, it's funny. I watched one of his starts earlier this season. There had to have been maybe 10, 15 scouts there. Rick Heller from Iowa was there. And, you know, as soon as he takes them out for his warm-ups and, you know, his first pitch is heaped in there, I think, at 92, 93, they all looked around and just kind of laughed and shook their heads like, this is amazing. Like, there is a legitimate shot that this kid is not going to play professional baseball. And I think, you know, the real interesting thing is it's tough to lure him away from Iowa. Once he gets to Iowa and starts playing football, man, I get the impression that it's going to be really tough to keep him on a baseball field because of that passion for football, too. But the one saving grace for, I think, Rick Heller is the fact that they know, like, okay, he comes to Iowa, he's going to be a day one contributor for the Iowa Hawkeye baseball team. He's not going to be a day one contributor for the Iowa Hawkeye football team.
It's just life-changing money, man. I don't know. It must be an incredibly difficult decision. I'm with you, right?
It's just, Berchi, we saw your recruiting profile, though. You are not getting that kind of money.
That's why I'm taking it. But, you know,
you're in writing about
it. Funny. You talk to his family. You know, his mom's a teacher. She really has emphasized the importance of getting a college education. You know, and it's not just Brody that's a diehard fan, you know, diehard Hawkeye fan. This really sums up to me. I remember talking to his mom about the idea of, like, okay, just, you know, how much they love going to Iowa football games. I said, was this the type of thing that if Brody wasn't good, you would kind of dangle it in front of him and say, look, if you aren't good, you don't do good in school or
wow.
you don't shape
yeah.
up, we're not going to take you to the Iowa football game. Mom was like, no, I don't think so, because I really want to go to the football game, too. So, but on the flip side, she said, look, I understand. If that type of money is coming his way, mm-hmm. it's really hard for me to tell him to turn it down. But it's like I said, the dream is to play football at Iowa. Mm-hmm. The dream has not necessarily been to play in the big league.
And I guess, look, if he plays football, he plays baseball, it's not like he can't play baseball at some point. Mm-hmm. You put it off, but then, you know, you're taking a huge, huge risk if something happens.
Worked for him.
It did, but there's probably a long list of guys that it didn't
sure.
work for, right? Berchi, last thing for you. Are you still on track to cover the game at Field of Dreams? Will you be the registers, at least one of them? I don't know how many passes. It's going to be pretty tight, I imagine, press pass-wise. Are you still on track for Field of Dreams, Yanks, White Sox in August?
Yeah, I believe that's the game plan. We applied for credentials, and I think Randy Peterson's going. He's
going
to be my wheelman. So it'll be fun. I'm really excited to see the whole setup because both of you guys can vouch for this. Like they have kept that specially constructed field under serious wraps. I mean, I think the only real footage we've got of it is when JP Morosi went out there, I think last month, and did a couple of quick shots for Fox because he's going to be part of the broadcast group. But if you go up to Dyersville right now and you want to see that field, you better bring some binoculars.
Great stuff. Tommy Birch, Des Moines Register. Great piece on Coop's Cages. It's in today's Register or online, DesMoinesRegister.com. Birchie, thank you, buddy. Good to catch up with you.
Hey, guys.
Good to talk to you. Tommy Birch from the Des Moines Register. Trent, I Brody Breck's Jack Condon's
mm-hmm.
in that same spot.
Yep.
In 1934, a lot of years. Right.
We're about 16 years away.
16 years,
yep.
Right. It's a dream to run out of the tunnel at Kinnick Stadium.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it will be for Jack.
Oh, yeah. I'm guessing
he's
growing
to
up
his,
in a Hawkeye household. Right?
He's getting to his first game at Kinnick coming up this year.
Perfect. It's just millions of dollars. That you can set yourself up for the rest of your life.
You can.
You can.
But you're never getting
you lose
those
that
college times.
I get it. I get it.
And even taking football away because I was nowhere close to a football field.
I was nowhere near close to a college. So I,
and those times are, they are special.
Yeah.
And if that's something that is incredibly important, you see Brody Brecht. You see how he recruits for the Hawkeyes.
I do. He loves it, Trent. It's the passion he has, it's real.
And that's the passion we talk about in this state. Because it's about being a Hawkeye or a Cyclone. And that importance and that pull, something we talk about. How can you do sports talk radio in a market like that?
Yeah.
It's easy because of the passion and the passion in that family. And it's just, it's more important. Yeah, it's millions of dollars and it's a professional opportunity. But it's also an opportunity he dreamed about.
Right. If Brody doesn't eat his vegetables, you take the game away from him. No. I want to go, too.
Yeah, I'm not sitting at home with him.
Right. I want to go to the game, too.
Right.
Oh, man. It sounds as though he's going to Iowa.
I think so, yes.
Turning down the baseball opportunity.
He is what they term in baseball unsignable.
Right.
It sometimes has a negative connotation. It's not what it is.
No.
He knows what he wants, though. And he can go to Iowa for 3 years. Here's the other thing. He's going to be there working with Rick Heller.
Yeah, that can't hurt.
Yes, for 3 years.
Right.
And in 3 years after his junior season, very well, instead of being maybe second, third round pick, he could be a first rounder. This is a guy that throws 98 and hasn't been a full-time pitcher in his life.
Mm-hmm.
He is a guy that just does everything well. And now he's got these opportunities in front of him.
Take our final time out of the hour coming up. Yes.
When we come back, I have a little something for us. The top, this is from a New York Times poll from 2015. The top three MLB teams in Polk County. It's broken down
from
by
the New York Times.
They have every county in this survey that was done. It was a little while back, but only the top three, unfortunately.
Okay.
We'll break down what we were talking about a little earlier.
Well, we've got two of them right for sure. I think the question is do we have the Twins properly identified as the third best team? We'll find out when we come back after this quick timeout. It's Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and
1020.com.
I like this tune. I haven't heard this in a long time.
Yeah.
Well done. Miller and Condon, welcome back. 1460 KXNO 106.3 FM. Our buddy Glenn out in Guttenberg passed this text along for those of you who want to see the Field of Dreams. And as Birchie said, you can't get close to it. Well, KWWL Channel 7, they've got a drone. And they just sent the drone over this past weekend, and it's up at their website.
Oh, great.
KWWL.com. If you want to see the Field of Dreams, Dyersville, from this past weekend via drone, you can. All right, so let's get to that excellent tease.
Yes.
Going into the break. And early in the show, we tried to come up with kind of the breakdown of the local MLB teams. We had Cubs at 40, Cardinals at 20. And then kind of fill in the, from there we went Twins, Royals, White Sox, Brewers.
Yes.
So you said you found something from the New York Times in 2015.
Yes. So this is fans by Facebook, though. This is through Facebook that consider
themselves
a fan.
Was this after the Royals World Series?
It would have been right in that range.
Okay.
But remember, this is all major league teams.
Okay.
So the Cubs are first, but this is all 30 MLB teams. 32% in Polk County consider themselves Cubs fans. Second on the list,
Cardinals.
The New York Yankees.
What?
13% of Polk County residents on Facebook consider themselves Yankees fans. The Cardinals are third at 11%. Move one county over. Let's go over to Dallas County. 31% for the Cubs, 12% for both the Yankees and Cardinals there.
The Yankees
are everywhere. Huh. Now, you move up north, go up to Story County.
Yeah, where do you have to go to find the Twins to cut in?
The Cubs, 31%. The Twins are next at 13% up there. And my stompy grounds, Mitchell County, Twins, 59%. Cubs, 10%. Yankees at 5%.
All right, go over to the eastern part of the state.
Let's go to Johnson County.
Yeah, that's a good
Iowa
one.
City. Cubs, 38%. Cardinals, 13%. Third surprise me, the White Sox at 9% of the fans. My favorite, though, is you go all the way up, the only county in Iowa, Allemachie, way up in the northeast corner, Wauconda-Cora area.
There's your Brewers.
The Brewers at 41%, the Twins at 20%, and the Cubs at 13%.
Very interesting. We're out of hour two coming up. Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News. Wonder if Vinny's heard anything regarding Hard Knocks. We'll ask him that.
Broncos?
I'm telling you, they're waiting for Aaron Rodgers before they pull the trigger. Lots of issues with Vinny Iyer to get to. And then Big 12 conversation with Matt Postens from Heartland College Sports. We're here until noon on 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM.